Chapter 8. The Last Night. Mr. Utterson paused in thought for a few minutes. "These are all very strange circumstances," said Mr. Utterson, "but I think I'm starting to understand. Your master, Poole, has an illness that both tortures and deforms the sufferer, which explains why his voice has changed and why he wears a mask and avoids his friends. That is why he is so eager to find the drug."
"Sir," said the butler, "that thing was not my master."
Now the butler looked around and started to whisper,
"My master is tall, and this creature was short."
Utterson began to argue, but Poole stopped him.
"Oh, sir, do you think I do not know my master after 20 years? Do you think I do not know where his head comes to on the office door, where I saw him every morning of my life?"
"No, sir, that thing in the mask was never Dr. Jekyll. I believe Dr. Jekyll has been murdered."
"Poole," replied the lawyer, "if you say that, we will have to make certain. Much as I want to spare your master's feelings, much as I am puzzled by this note which seems to prove him to be still alive, I shall consider it my duty to break in that door."
"Ah, Mr. Utterson, now you're talking," cried the butler.
"Let's be frank," said the other. "This masked creature that you saw, did you recognize it?" "If you're asking if it was Mr. Hyde, I couldn't swear to it as he moved so quickly, but yes, sir, I think it was." "That man could make your blood run cold, and I'm telling you, that masked thing that ran into the office left me with the same feeling. I know that's no proof, Mr. Utterson, but I have a strong feeling that it was Mr. Hyde."
"Yes," said the lawyer, "I am inclined to agree. Evil was sure to come of that connection. Yes, truly, I believe you, and I believe poor Henry has been killed, and I believe his murderer is still in the office, though I have no idea why. Well, let's break down that door."
They went to the laboratory and told the person inside to open the door. Mr. Utterson gave fair warning that if he did not open the door, they would have to break it down.
"Utterson," said the voice, "for God's sake, have mercy."
"Ah, that's not Jekyll's voice. It's Hyde's," cried Mr. Utterson. "Down with the door, Poole."
Poole swung the axe over his shoulder. The blow shook the building, and a terrible cry was heard from inside the office. Up went the axe again, and again the panels crashed. It took 5 blows of the axe to get through the door. Then all was silent. Mr. Utterson and Poole stood back a little and looked in at the office, which was tidy except for a drawer or two being open. Everything seemed in order. But in the middle there lay the body of a man, twisted and twitching. They quietly moved towards it, turned it on its back, and saw the face of Edward Hyde. He was dressed in clothes far too large for him, so large they would fit Dr. Jekyll. In his hand he held a broken bottle, and a strong smell was in the air. Mr. Utterson knew that he was looking at the body of someone who had poisoned himself. "We have come too late to save or to punish. Mr. Hyde is dead, and all that remains for us is to find the body of your master." The two men searched high and low, but saw no sign of Dr. Jekyll's body. After the entire property had been thoroughly explored, they considered the possibility that he had fled. They returned to the office and looked at the experiments he had been conducting. Next, they turned to a neat display of papers on his desk. A large envelope addressed to Mr. Utterson was on the top. His name was written in Dr. Jekyll's handwriting. The lawyer unsealed it, and several papers fell to the floor. The first was a new will, this one stating that Mr. Utterson should have his fortune. He looked at Poole, and then back at the paper, and last of all, at the dead man on the floor.
"This is very confusing," the lawyer said. "You would think Mr. Hyde would have destroyed this document."
Mr. Utterson picked up the next paper. It was a brief note in the doctor's handwriting and dated at the top.
"Oh, Poole," the lawyer cried. "He was alive and here today. Hyde could not have hidden his body in so short a time. He must still be alive. He must have fled. But why flee? And how? And in that case,
Can we be certain Hyde killed himself?
Oh, we must be careful.
Why don't you read it, sir? Asked Poole.
Mr. Utterson began to read.
My dear Utterson, when you read this, I shall have disappeared. I don't know why or how, but my instinct tells me that the end to this situation must surely be near. Go, then, and first read the account which Lanyon gave you. And if you care to hear more, turn to the confession of your unhappy friend, Henry Jekyll.
Was there something else? Asked Mr. Utterson.
Here, sir, said Poole, passing him a well-sealed envelope. The lawyer put it in his pocket. We won't say anything about this to anyone. If your master has fled, or if he is dead, we do not need to ruin his reputation. It is now 10 o'clock. I must go home and read these documents in quiet, but I will be back before midnight. Then we shall call the police. With that, they locked the door to the laboratory, and Mr. Utterson returned home.